One of the great masterpieces of Western culture is Handel's Messiah. It took Handel a little less than a month to write the whole thing. And if you've ever sung it or gone to a performance, you know that it takes over 2.5 hours for the entirety of Messiah to be sung. And so it's a remarkable thing to think that Handel, in less than 30 days, composed it from beginning to end. And it is the end that I want to talk about right now. Handel's Messiah ends with this great chorus called the Amen Chorus. It's called a fugue, where each part comes in with the same idea, and then it builds, and it builds, and it builds, and then the trumpet comes in, and the timpani come in, and as you come to the end of it, you are left breathless. Handel's Messiah, concluding with the Amen Chorus, is kind of like what we have in today's epistle. For here, just as Messiah was Handel's great masterpiece, St. Paul's letter to the Romans is his great masterpiece. And what we have at the end of Romans, the reading that we heard this evening, is his Amen Chorus. It's called a doxology. And a doxology means right praise of God. To give God glory, which is what the word doxa means in Greek. And so a doxology is to use words that are going to glorify God. And this is exactly what St. Paul does here in the 16th chapter of his magnum opus, the letter to the Romans. And so today, I want to answer two questions for us. What in the world does Paul mean in these verses? Because Paul is hard to understand at the best of times. And St. Peter himself said in his second letter, the writings of Paul are hard to understand. Our first pope even had trouble understanding St. Paul, which is kind of encouraging for you and me. And then secondly, we want to think about, well, why on the fourth Sunday of Advent does the church have this reading from Romans? Now let me just read through it with you again. We heard at the beginning of tonight's reading, now to God who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Here's the point why we have this reading on Advent 4. The gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's because of Jesus that we have the gospel to begin with. But St. Paul says he calls it my gospel. It's his gospel because it had come to so capture the imagination and the heart of the Apostle Paul. And here's the amazing thing about this gospel. For 2,000 years, it has been proclaimed. And for 2,000 years, people like you have been showing up at Mass. Showing up to hear the Word of God spoken in a way that we can hear it and understand it. And so this is the first thing about Advent 4. Tomorrow we'll be celebrating Christmas Eve and then Christmas Day when we celebrate the Word being made flesh. But the wonderful mystery of this gospel is its staying power. For 2,000 years, it has stood the test of time. For 2,000 years, people have been able to respond to this message because when our hearts are open, when our minds are receptive, we know that this is the word of life. It is the word that allows our lives to have meaning. And so St. Paul then goes on to say, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings. One of the beautiful things that we celebrate as a Christian people is we understand that our lives are part of a larger narrative than just ourselves. And here St. Paul says, the gospel of Jesus Christ is part of that narrative that goes all the way back to the prophetic books of the Old Testament. And one of the great gifts that we have, I think particularly as Roman Catholics, is there is this continuity between Judaism and Catholicism that shows the integration of our Jewish roots with how we now live our lives as Roman Catholics. Let me just give you an illustration to point this out. For the Jewish people, they would go to the synagogue to hear the word of God proclaimed. But then if they wanted to sacrifice, they would have to go to the temple in Jerusalem in order to offer that sacrifice. We don't do that, do we? You're not going to have to leave here and then go somewhere else for the sacrifice to take place. No, they both take place here. Right now, we are doing what they did in the synagogue, the proclaiming of the word. In a few minutes, we will then go to the altar and we will participate in the ongoing sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross that has, down through 2,000 years, continued to meet us today. And so what Paul wants us to understand at the end of this great letter is that we are part of this amazing story that finds its unity in Christ and brings us together so that we can be a people confident of who we are in Christ. But then there's something else that St. Paul says. This gospel is made known to all the Gentiles according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. Now that's a mouthful, but let's put it simply. What St. Paul is saying here is what delights the heart of God is the obedience of faith. This isn't an obedience that is some submission to an iron law which breaks those who oppose it. It is the obedience founded on faith. What is faith? Faith is our act of trusting ourselves to God and entrusting that the word that he speaks into our lives is one that will result in love. You see, for St. Paul, Christians are not a people who have surrendered to a power that cannot be resisted, from which there is no escape. Rather, they are men and women who have fallen in love with God, God who is the lover of human souls, and whose love stands forever fully displayed in Jesus Christ. And so this is the second reason why we have this reading today. The whole of our earthly life is to be this invitation to see that our life has purpose, has meaning, because of the proclamation of the gospel. But then that proclamation has to become something that each one of us appropriates for ourselves. And when we are able to do this more and more, we grow in this desire to live lives of obedience, lives of right praise. And when we think of Our Lady in that famous gospel for this evening, it is this that is at the heart of Mary. I am the servant of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. That she was so in love with God that the work of God in her life allowed her every day to give her yes. You and I can't do that because we are still affected and infected by sin. But the more we grow in understanding who the Christ child is, the more we grow in living lives that are responding to the proclamation of the gospel out of a place of obedience, the more you and I will be inspired. We won't be able to write Handel's Messiah, but we can live our lives with the kind of energy, the kind of purpose, the kind of drive that marks that amazing piece of music that many of us will listen to during the Christmas season. And so we are at the end of Advent. And as we are at the end of Advent, let us give our amen, our expression of I agree with what St. Paul writes today, that the gospel is indeed our gospel when it becomes true to our heart and the gospel that we want to live out. May you have a blessed Christmastide, and remember that Christmas does not end on the 26th of December. It goes on until the 6th of January, the Feast of the Epiphany. So as we move from Advent into Christmas, may our hearts resound with this gospel, the gospel of Christ, the gospel that St. Paul celebrates in his most wonderful letter to the Romans.